A diplomatic spat between Australia and China appears to be escalating, with accusations of unprofessional conduct and petty games. Today, DFAT suggested the Chinese embassy breached protocol by disclosing alleged details of a high-level conversation between the secretary of DFAT and the Chinese ambassador. Chinese officials responded by accusing Australia of behaving badly. The dispute stems from Australia's call for an independent investigation into how the virus escaped Wuhan, which China sees as an affront. I spoke to the Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton a short time ago and asked him if the tensions were escalating.
No, I believe our responsibility is to stand up for our sovereign right. What the government's asked for is transparency and openness, and frankly I think the rest of the world is asking for that as well. So I think if we stick to the facts and leave the emotion to one side, we're able to deal with what's obviously a complex issue, but for people who have lost loved ones here as well as those who have lost loved ones around the world as a result of the COVID virus, I think those answers should be provided in an open and transparent way, and I don't think that's unreasonable.
Are you confident that this virus originated in Wuhan?
Well, I think we need to accept the facts. Where else did it start if it wasn't in Wuhan? What other concentrations or clusters were there in other jurisdictions? I'm not aware of any. At that early stage. And the reason it's important is because we want to make sure that we don't see this restart. We don't want to see a new version of this virus in 12 months' time or 2 years' time. That's why we've been critical, not of the wet markets, but of the wildlife wet markets, where this very day bats are still being sold. And there's a history here as well, where viruses have originated from these markets before. So On a global basis, we don't want to see these pandemics taking place on a regular basis, and I think that's why the world is asking for there to be a level of transparency, and I think most reasonable people would agree with that.
Mining giant Andrew Forrest suggested on AM this morning that an inquiry into the origins of COVID-19 should be held after the US election to, you know, take the politics out so it's not used as a political football. Do you agree?
Look, I think there are concerns across Europe, across Asia, across our whole country, frankly, at the moment. I think Labor leaders, Liberal leaders, I'm not sure that politics comes into it at all. I think across the globe, people want to know exactly what happened here, the origins, the genesis of the virus, and what can be done to make sure it doesn't happen again. It's a level of transparency that I think China should welcome, because we want to make sure that we can continue to be great trading partners with China. We want to see the Chinese people lifted out of villages and poverty and into the middle class. I want to see China grow as a great economic power, and we want that to be the case, but with the backdrop of there being transparency around these very important global issues. So I think it's well above politics, and I think frankly, asking for open and transparent answers is nothing more or less than what European leaders would also be asking for.
The Chinese embassy in Canberra released this statement yesterday, as you know, claiming to detail this conversation between the Chinese ambassador and the secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Francis Adamson. Now, that statement alleges Ms. Adamson admitted it is not the time to commence the review now, and Australia has no details of the proposal. Is this the government's stance, or is the embassy putting words into the DFAT boss's mouth?
Well, they're questions you'd have to put to DFAT. I wasn't party to the conversation, so I don't know what was discussed, but obviously the Prime Minister's been very clear. All of us have been very clear in wanting to work with China and work with other nations around the world to make sure we can get the answers, and to do it in an open and transparent way. I don't think there's anything complicated about that, and I hope it can happen sooner than later so that we don't have a repeat of this in years to come.
Just on the COVID Safe app, a lot of Australians are downloading this. We've been given updated figures from the Prime Minister, but of course that grows all the time, so by the end of close of business it will be even higher. Do you have an idea yourself about how many Australians you'd like to sign up for it to be successful?
Well, certainly as many as possible, and we haven't put a number on it, but the more that sign up, obviously the more effective it becomes. And I think if you want to help people get through this, if you want to help the doctors and nurses deal with this at our hospitals, then sign up to the app. I think it's been demonstrated that this will be a useful tool in helping that tracing effort.
40% was the rate that you wanted people to sign up. Given its kind of uptake in high numbers, really, very early on in the piece, is that ambition even higher now?
Well, I think the number's quite remarkable when you get to 2.5 or 3 million people or downloads of it. I think that is quite amazing, and particularly given the additional coverage that will have. I mean, young children who are spending time with their parents, mum's carrying the phone or dad's carrying the phone, and so it gives you even wider reach. So I think there's an enormous benefit in people downloading the app, and if they haven't done so, or even if they have, they should contact their friends and encourage them to do exactly the same.
Labor's Home Affairs spokeswoman Christina Keneally says there are too many cooks in the kitchen of Australian border policy, and of course that's all in the wake of this Ruby Princess drama fiasco. I mean, it clearly hasn't worked out well. Would you prefer Border Force to have the kind of single sole responsibility for all these types of border checks, including health, to try and streamline this and create a better sort of sense of who's in charge?
Well, Patricia, obviously there are a couple of inquiries that are underway at the moment, so we'll leave that to Mr. Walker and to the New South Wales Police for those investigations. Christina Keneally was a failed premier, obviously, but a premier at one point in New South Wales. She never saw fit to change any of these arrangements. They've been long-standing arrangements in each of the jurisdictions. I think they've served us well for a long period of time. I think an individual or others have made a mistake here in New South Wales Health. It's been well documented. It's been a decision that relied on information from the ship. All of that's under investigation at the moment. But Christina Keneally's frankly unhinged attacks on the Border Force uniform officers, I think, has been quite remarkable and I think regrettable. They haven't been repeated by Anthony Albanese, and her obsession with Border Force no doubt is for other reasons, but to try and attack the officers that were responsible here, I think, is quite utterly inappropriate for her to do so. But it is what it is. We don't employ doctors and nurses in Australian Border Force. Our officers who work at the front line, that people would see when they come and go from our international airports, or if they're coming on or off a cruise ship, they're officers that are looking for those people that shouldn't be in our country because of criminal histories, because they're terrorists, because they've got a forged document. That's their role. And as I say, if there are recommendations out of inquiries, we'll look at those recommendations. We're happy to look at sensible proposals, but at the moment, the sort of unhinged attacks by Christina Keneally, I just don't think help anybody at all, let alone the officers of the Australian Border Force, or frankly, the great work that New South Wales Health does under enormous pressure.
That's the Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton.